This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, you know, I was raised right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And by that I mean, you know, I had a good upbringing here in the southern states, born and raised in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee, and my mom and my grandmother were just determined. They were the steel magnolias of the family, and they were determined that all of us Stearns children would be raised right, and that we would have good proper southern manners. And there's a good old fashioned saying. There are actually two that we start our conversation with today. Number one is never speak ill of the dead. And that's not a Southern saying. The other one is a Southern saying. If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, just hush up. Just hush up. But I'm going to violate that rule today. And I was somewhat hesitant about it, but I'm a little fired up over what I'm watching happen inside National Cathedral, which is an apostate building right now. That's really not a church. That thing is the farthest thing from a church, in my estimation. But nevertheless, that's where the daughter of, the father of Dick is being buried right now. Dick Cheney is being buried, his funeral today at National Cathedral, and it is certainly a solemn occasion. And it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that of all the things, there are two things that politics should not be involved in. That is a wedding ceremony, and the other is a funeral. And I just, you know, whenever somebody dies, we always offer prayers and our thoughts and our heart goes out to people because we are a pro-life people. And it doesn't matter if you're a raging Democrat or a rock-solid conservative, we're going to mourn with you, and we're going to mourn with your family and pray for your family, because loss is loss, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. What I'm seeing happen today, though, is ugly, ugly politics. And it has, and honestly, it has everything to do with Donald Trump and nothing to do with Donald Trump. What we're watching today unfold is we're watching the true nature and the true character of the deep state, the uniparty. That's what we're watching unfold inside National Cathedral, a godless cathedral in our nation's capital. Now, it is normally, it's a tradition in Washington, whenever there is the death, there's a funeral for a vice president or a president, the sitting president and the sitting vice president normally attend. That is a long-held and cherished tradition in our great republic. Well, that tradition was thrown out the window because we know now that Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, actually said President Trump was going to be banned from the funeral. President Trump was not invited, but he was banned from attending the funeral, as if he was what, going to show up and crash the funeral of Dick Cheney? I mean, come on. That's just disgusting. Also, we understand, and there's a bit of conflicting reporting on this, but the New York Times reports that even J.D. Vance was not invited, or was invited, but then in their reporting, they reached out to the vice president's office, and they said, no, we were not invited. We were not invited to attend the funeral today. What I find interesting is who was invited to attend, because everybody was there except for President Trump. And I'm talking about George W. Bush and Laura Bush, former Vice President Dan Quayle. For those of you who might remember Dan Quayle and the potato incident, Murphy Brown, for example. They were invited. Former Vice President Mike Pence was invited to attend, seated right next to Joe and Jill Biden, who were invited to attend, as well as Kamala Harris. All of them seated next to each other in National Cathedral. A row of irrelevance, ladies and gentlemen, absolute irrelevance. They hate Donald Trump so much. And you can sense it. You can feel it. It's almost as if they're really not even at a funeral as much as it is they're preening for the cameras, and you can see the smirks on their faces, the hushed voices and conversations between all of them. And there's no difference on that row. They're all of the same party. This is, and God love our good friend Congressman Tim Burgett out of East Tennessee, who's one of the great wordsmiths up on Capitol Hill. He says these are not swamp creatures. These are sewer creatures, because the swamp is something that God created. And this is man-made stench that we are observing right now in National Cathedral. And it is absolutely disgusting and appalling. And what an embarrassing thing to see happen here in the United States of America. But this is what Donald Trump has been fighting against since he came down the beautiful golden escalator. This is what our president has been dealing with. Now, we're going to be monitoring the speeches. I know President Bush is speaking, and we'll pull any sort of relevant information from that whenever we get the transcripts. But it's just an ugly, ugly thing. Ladies and gentlemen, an ugly thing that has happened. Now, you might remember that this hatred of Donald Trump goes back for years, but last year was really a pivotal point. Cheney, who was on his deathbed, got up and they got him upright, and he recorded a video, a campaign ad for Kamala Harris. And he said that Donald Trump could never be trusted with power again, ever again. And then he announced that he was voting for Kamala Harris. So Dick Cheney, he died a Democrat. What a sad thing. And then his daughter, Liz, was there, and she was the one who co-chaired the J6 committee. You know, this is a woman who was actually at one point was actually being considered as a presidential candidate. This was years ago, before she came down with that raging case of TDS. She's now in stage 5. There is no remission, and she's got a terminal case of it. She lost her congressional race. It was a humiliating defeat. And I hate talking about all this stuff when they're trying to bury the guy, but I cannot let this moment pass, ladies and gentlemen, because this is disgusting. And the issue I have here is that President Trump has taken the high road in all of this. He ordered as soon as Cheney passed, he ordered all of the flags in America to be flown at half staff. He hasn't posted any messages. He hasn't put out any statements. He's been very quiet about all of this. Quite frankly, very respectful. And I suspect, had he been invited, he and the First Lady, by the way, they snubbed Melania Trump. What did she do? I mean, I understand politics is politics, but Melania Trump's done nothing wrong. Why snub her? These people, they are lowlife, and it just pains me to say this, but what a bunch of sleazebags. I mean, who does this? Because at the end of the day, and I get it, they let their seething hatred of Donald Trump besmirch this really solemn occasion. It should be a moment of national unity and sorrow and mourning and grief. But instead, their hatred of President Trump has so consumed them that not only did they disrespect Donald Trump, but they're also disrespecting the office of the presidency. By the way, where's Barack Hussein at? Where he was a no-show today. And so was, Michelle. Yeah, Michelle Obama. Where was Michelle Obama? Oh, she's out on the book tour, I'm being told. But this, it just, once again, very rarely in our nation's capital do we get to get a photograph, really a 3D image of what the sewer, the D.C. sewer, actually looks like, this uniparty. And as much as we mourn the passing of Dick Cheney, we also have to remind people about what this man did to our country, that you have thousands and thousands of millennials that came back from wars we had no business fighting because Dick Cheney was hell-bent on getting this country involved in wars we had no business fighting. How many millennials came home missing limbs? How many millennials never came home as a result of the flawed and failed policies of Vice President Dick Cheney? How many? Again, if you, I mean, you want to attack Donald Trump? One of the reasons that Cheney and his family hate Donald Trump so much is these people are profiting off of wars, global wars. They are war profiteers. That's who the Cheney family is. That's how they made their money. So when there's no war being fought, guess what? They lose money. And that's why they hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is the only president of peace that we have had in my lifetime. In my lifetime, every single president, Republican and Democrat, have gotten us involved in wars. Many of them we had no business fighting. But not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not only is he a president of peace, he has brought peace to many, many conflicts around the world. And it pains me to say all of this on the day of a man's funeral, but it's his family that did this, and shame on them all. As a matter of fact, if I'd have been George W. Bush, I would have said, you know what? We've got to invite Trump. It's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. But this is the sort of pettiness that Donald Trump has been dealing with his entire political life. So this is no skin off Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he's probably not thinking anything of this. And I hope he doesn't, because, Mr. President, you're above all of this. You are, sir. And it's sad. It's sad that former presidents and former vice presidents and former first ladies are disrespecting Donald J. Trump like they are. But this is what the uniparty does. This is what the D.C. sewer does. And at the end of the day, does it really matter all that much? I don't think so, but I do know this. There was a report out just the other day. I think this came out yesterday. We didn't have a chance to get to it. But there are efforts within the Republican Party to retake the party from the America First movement. And the reporting is that the Bush family is plotting. And the Bush family, for a very long time, has been plotting for what the Republican Party looks like after Donald Trump leaves office. So get ready for that, because the establishment is going to stage a comeback, and it very well may be that Jeb Bush is going to be leading the charge. Low-energy Jeb may be leading the charge for the Bushes. So we have not seen the last of these folks. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. We have a terrific show planned for you today, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Have you heard about the new movie Call Sign Courage? It's the story of Space Force Commander Matt Lohmeyer. He's the one who blew the lid off the military's DEI agenda. He saw how Marxist messaging, critical race theory, and rampant DEI training was changing the culture of the military. Suddenly, everybody was equal. They'd stripped away merit-based selection and promotions, and the lack of accountability, competency, and effectiveness had actually become a domestic threat. He spoke up how it was tearing apart the military's unity, readiness, and the whole reason why we have a military in the first place, the ability to fight and win wars. They broke into his home, he was spied on and threatened, but Lohmeyer did not back down, so career officers kicked him out. Then President Trump made him Undersecretary of the Air Force so he could solve the problem. When the stakes were high, this guy stood up. Don't miss Call Sign Courage, the Matt Lohmeyer story. Watch it and buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. Yeah, there they are, Joe and Jill and Kamala and Mike Pence all sitting together at National Cathedral. It is indeed a row of irrelevance. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Starting our day in Georgia, Larry. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
Hello. I'm just listening to you describe the memorial services there, and you're right. They are snubbing the president. But I really believe more than that, they're snubbing the people. They don't like it that there's people in this country that still have good values, good morals, and are trying to defend what our country was founded for. And I think you're exactly right. If Mr. Bush had been the man that he should be, he would have said, if the president's not invited, perhaps I shouldn't come.
You know, I love George Bush. I really do. And he's a good man. I mean, he's a fellow believer. He, you know, had a terrible life and got, you know, found God, got saved, very open about his faith. But I'm afraid that Dick Cheney really influenced him and pushed him into the Iraq War, a war that we had no business being in, Larry. And I've never once heard anybody apologize to the families that were impacted, some forever, by the decisions made by Dick Cheney.
Yes, sir. I voted for Mr. Bush both times. But after the fact, which we didn't have a lot of choice at the time either, but after the fact, I just really don't agree with a lot of what he did.
Yeah, I hear you, Larry. And I think, you know, that's a fair point, is that it's disrespecting the people, too. Because, again, we expect more from our leaders, and these people have been all about petty politics, and that's what we're seeing today, and that's really a sad thing. This should have been a solemn occasion, and you can just almost feel and sense the pettiness, the political pettiness coming out of these people there in the there at the cathedral. Larry, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there's another big story, and we're going to be talking about both of these tonight on Newsmax, but another one involves these six Democrat lawmakers, and they put out a video calling on members of the U.S. military to ignore orders coming from Donald Trump. This is insanity. So I want to list the lawmakers. Senator from Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, she was one of the organizers, along with Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. And then you had Congress Peoples, Chris DeLuzio, Jason Crow, Maggie Goodlander from New Hampshire, and Chrissy Houlihan. Never heard of some of these people. They say that the Trump administration is a literal threat to the U.S. Constitution. And so they put out a video saying that it is imperative that service members ignore what they call unlawful orders coming from the president. All right, well, who gets to decide what is lawful and what is not lawful, ladies and gentlemen? And by the way, those of you in the military, you know exactly what happens to you if you disobey an order. So if you've got the commander in chief telling you to do X, Y, or Z, and instead you do A, B, and C, guess what? Your butt's going to the brig. That's what's happening here. So President Trump is enraged over this, and he says this is nothing more than a call for insurrection, and he says these lawmakers need to be arrested. The president writing on Truth Social, and the president is enraged. Multiple posts on Truth Social today. He says, this is treason. This is really bad and dangerous to our country. It's called seditious behavior at the highest level. The president going on to write, each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, as we go to break, do you agree with the president here? I mean, clearly, there's no dispute here. They're telling these soldiers to ignore the president of the United States. Do you believe that these lawmakers broke the law? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We've got the story and the video up at ToddStearns.com. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution. And
right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
All right. The one thing, these are all Democrats, and we just read you their names a few moments ago. These are the Democrats that President Trump says need to be arrested, and they need to be charged with sedition. Now, there are laws on the books that do criminalize what those lawmakers just did. Will the Justice Department go after them? That's highly unlikely. But the president is enraged over this, and he has a right to be, because ultimately they left out one very important thing in all of this. They keep talking about how they have to ignore illegal orders coming from the commander in chief. What exactly are those illegal orders? What has President Trump ordered the military to do, ladies and gentlemen, that would rise to the level of something illegal or criminal? And the answer is nothing, nothing at all. The president has done nothing, and the president has not used the military to do anything illegal, anything inappropriate, anything criminal at all, period. But what I think is going on here is that the Democrats are trying to sow seeds of doubt in your minds. That's what I think is going on. They want you to think, well, you know, I don't know, maybe Trump is doing something wrong here. Maybe he is telling our military to do something wrong. That's what I think they're really up to. It's really devious. And, you know, the media is going to play along with all of this, but Donald Trump is the only president in my lifetime, in 58 years, the only president who has kept us out of wars. He has prevented the young men and women, the sons and daughters of America, from going into an armed conflict with another country. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thankful for that. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to Ted in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind today?
Well, yeah, thank you very much. I absolutely agree with you 100%. But regarding Dick Cheney, at the time that Bush asked him to be his vice president. This is what I read. And he had refused twice. And then he had a bad heart at the time. But then he finally agreed to become vice president as long as he was put in charge of the military. He had been Secretary of Defense at one time before. But in regard to Iraq, Cheney also was involved with Halliburton, an oil company that somehow collected oil over in that part of the world. And so after we killed that leader of Iraq, or he got arrested, and remember George Bush flew onto that aircraft carrier and declared victory?
Mission accomplished. Yeah, the big banner.
Mission accomplished, yeah. But problem was Dick Cheney was in charge, and he wanted that oil in northern Iraq. Therefore, he sent the military in there further to continue that war, and they could have let the Iraqis develop their own government after taking out that evil leader. But no, they had to go under and get that oil. That's all Dick Cheney cared about was getting that oil under the control of Halliburton. So
you know,
anyway,
Ted, not only that, and you're right. I mean, Halliburton is deeply involved in the oil industry, but also they're involved. Are you ready for this, Ted? They have an entire division that's dedicated to military logistics. And guess who got a lot of these contracts? And you're right. Cheney was also George H.W. Bush's Secretary of Defense. He had a lot of experience. He was a long timer. I think his time in Washington goes back to Gerald Ford, where he was a part of the Ford administration. Then he got elected to Congress after all of that. But it may have been before. It may have been during Nixon, but definitely Gerald Ford. Dick Cheney had his very first heart attack at 37 years old. And it was sort of the running joke is that he was going through all of these, having these heart episodes at various times through his congressional career. He was in Congress for a while. And then, of course, he had the heart transplant. But he had his feet firmly planted in the oil industry and military logistics. And that family is worth Lord knows how much money right now, Ted.
That's right. And also, I remember that the previous president, which is Biden, he spent 2 weeks with the Cheney family there in Wyoming before he got elected, and scheming and plotting to become president.
I think ultimately, when you look back at Dick Cheney, the only reason, and there was a big push to have Dick Cheney, it was funny, he was put in charge of finding the VP for George W. There was a lot of concern that George W. did not have the experience that, you know, Jeb would have had, but that's why they were so determined. And so Cheney was in charge of finding the VP, and Cheney ended up picking himself as the VP.
All right, very good.
He's an operator. That guy was an operator, no doubt about it. Ted, thanks for calling in. All right, let's go to Houston. Don listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Don, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to weigh in on what you were saying and talking about the senators. Todd, when you're in the military, in the different branches of the military, call it different things. I was in the Navy. And in the Navy, if you disobey an order, even if it's from your leading petty officer, in the Navy, you can go up before what they call captain's mast. Now, in the different branches, they call them different things. But in the Navy, it's captain's mast. And if you disobey an order, you're subject to go before the captain, and they can reprimand you. Now, if you obey an order from an officer, or if the president of the United States, you quite likely can go to the brig. And so those people are advocating something and pushing something that's totally, totally against anything that's really legal in the armed forces. And I think they should be punished. There is no reason for them to do that. I mean, they can disagree with the president, but you don't advocate or push for people to actually go and put themselves in harm's way, because that's what you don't want to spend time in a Marine brig. And I haven't been there, but I've heard a lot of stories. Okay, so in my opinion, I think we should we should at least censor them in some way.
Well, everybody else is getting censured these days, Don, so why not? But let me say this. This is a very serious thing. And just think about this. You've got, because there are so many woke people in the military now, let's just say, all right, we're going to make up something here. Let's just say that Canada starts attacking the United States, and you've got people in the military, and they're pro Canada. They love the Canadians. They love Bullwinkle and Rocky. And they decide that, you know what? It is immoral to go and attack another country. Therefore, we are not going to participate in the war. We're going to put down our weapon and we're not going to fight. We're going to disobey those orders. I mean, you cannot have a military where people have that sort of mindset. To your point, you follow your orders. I've never been in the military, so someone in the military can back me up on this. When you are given an order, you obey the order.
That's right. And there's one other thing that they tell you, and you obey the last order given. If one petty officer in the Navy came to you and he told you to do one thing, but then another petty officer came by and gave you another thing to do, then you did what the last order you received. And you can spend some serious time up speaking to the captain or going to the brig if you disobey those orders. And trust me, now, according to what you were saying about Canada, if I recall right, didn't Clinton go to Canada to avoid the draft?
He may have. I don't know. I'll have to go back and do my history on that. You caught me flat-footed on that one, Don, but we'll check into it. But, Don, I appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to North Carolina. Charles, WSIC, our great affiliate in those parts. Charles, what say you?
I tell you, Todd, when I first heard those senators do that ad, I wasn't really paying attention. I had to listen to it two or three times. But I've never heard anything like that in my life happening like that, where you have six elected officials advocating for insurrection, disobedience, insubordination. I think they should, at the very least, Todd, I think Mike Johnson needs to bring the congressional members up and have them censored, strip them of their committee assignments. I think John Thune needs to do the same thing in the Senate. But it's very clear what these senators are trying to do. They hate President Trump. They hate his policies. And what they did is exactly what they accused Donald Trump of doing on January 6th. They stood up and they are advocating for rebellion. And, Todd, in my opinion, that also goes against the 14th Amendment, where you cannot... people taking part in an insurrection that have sworn an oath or allegiance to the United States are not fit to serve. But there's got to be some type of punishment here, because this, if not, this is going to spiral out of control. And it just highlights the differences and cracks in our country that just seem to be unbridgeable right now.
Doesn't it feel like we're moving towards a very, very dangerous point, and it's almost a point of no return. And people are calling it civil war. I don't think there's any other word that can describe what we're going through here, but I don't know what that would even look like, because it's not North versus South. You've got red states versus blue states, Charles, and I'm not sure what kind of a divided country that would actually look like, but it feels like we're moving so much farther apart that there's really no more, there's not going to be a chance to come back together.
Well, and I agree with you. And, you know, that is just underscored by these ICE raids, you know, here in Charlotte, and just the protesters and what they're saying to them and attacking them and putting their lives in jeopardy as they're just trying to, you know, enforce federal immigration law.
Charles, let me stop you there. I want to play some audio. This is a woman in Charlotte. This is what is so jarring about this. And, you know, we talk a lot about Memphis, you know, because that's my home. But But Charlotte, North Carolina, a major American city, and it doesn't even look like the Charlotte, North Carolina I used to know. I want you to listen to cut number six, please.
You are a bad, evil person. You need to be expunged. You need to go to another country. You need to know what it looks like. Instead, you're pulling over innocent people, not asking for any ID, and just hauling them off. You all should be ashamed. How do you go home to children, to friends, to family? Do you tell them what you do for a living? That you arrest people without cause? That you just pick them up, put them in a truck? Is that what you do? Are you proud of yourself for doing this? Are you absolutely proud?
Thank you for calling the ICE. Are you proud of this?
Are you proud? You are an idiot. You do not deserve to walk the face of this earth. None of you. You are fools. I didn't get a name. They took somebody out of that car.
Oh, my God. So, Charles, yeah. This is a woman from Charlotte, North Carolina, talking to ICE agents. What the heck is going on down there?
Well, what these people are forgetting is that, and I'm sure ICE agents are, you know, they're asking people for their immigration status, and I'm not exactly sure how you prove that, you know, when you're asked to present that, but they're rallying up people that are broken federal law, and these protesters seem to forget that. These people, the only reason ICE is in Charlotte and other cities around the country and we're having all of this going on is because the Biden administration deliberately allowed millions of people to illegally invade the country, and the ones that invaded, they're staying here. And ICE is just simply enforcing immigration law, Todd. And what makes my blood boil is I see these images every night on the local TV channels. Is the people out there protesting, they're waving Mexican flags, Venezuelan flags, flags of countries that I don't even know. And, God, these people, they're not pro-America. They have no allegiance to the United States. They want to live in America and experience the benefits, you know, whether it's government largesse or work or what. But they have no desire to be an American. They don't want to be an American. And they need to go. Every single one of these people need to be rounded up and deported.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And look, here's the thing. I think for a lot of people in America, when they're looking and they're seeing, you know, the tens of thousands of kids that aren't in school, that the traffic there in Charlotte has improved dramatically over the past several days, it shows you the extent of the invasion. And if it's that bad in Charlotte, you have to wonder how bad is it in many of these other towns and communities around the country. Charles, I am super late for a break. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back in stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, and we've talked a lot about some wonderful gifts for the family. Dylan, we have one for the children. You know, it's always about the children here on the Todd Stearns radio program. Let's take a listen to cut number one, please.
Introducing the ICE Immigration Playset. Kids can load up the cargo plane with immigrants under watchful police eyes and send them back on the bus and plane. Realistic loading action makes every mission exciting. Order now, and remember, they're on their way home.
I like that. What kid wouldn't want that?
It's
It's the best gift ever.
They keep on going and going and going. I love that. I wonder if you can get it down at Toys R Us. Is that still around? Maybe the Dollar General. All right, got to take a break there, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
A lot of people are heading off to the airports for the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, a lot of people leave like on Thursday or Friday, today or tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be insane day at the airports. And then on Monday. So I'm trying to figure out, I've got to be in Atlanta on Sunday for an event. And I'm thinking, you know, I had thought about, you know what, it's like 30-minute flight. But with all of the hullabaloo, it may be easier just to drive from Memphis to Atlanta. Anyway, enough of my troubles. If you've been to the airport lately, you know how bad it is. Now, Dylan, you've done a little bit of airline travel. I mean, since you've been married, I mean, you went your entire life never getting on board an airplane, never going to an airport. And what was your general observation of the way people were dressed and the way people were behaving at the airport?
Okay, I'll start with the dressed. The dressed was like, I would compare it to the Walmart on like midnight, maybe. You walk into a Walmart at midnight and you see the pajama pants, maybe a hoodie if it's cold. Behavior was okay when I went. It was like 3 a.m., so I mean, I can't really. 3 a.m., people are still tired.
Oh, people are yeah, they're wiped out.
They're not ready to be crazy yet.
The only crazy spots normally would be like a Spirit Airlines.
Yes.
Or maybe Southwest.
Yeah.
I think definitely Spirit. If right. You're looking for some action, some fighting, it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen there.
I didn't go in that section, so I avoided it.
Yeah. Well, that's a wise thing to do. But people, by and large, you know, it looks like they just rolled out of bed. And you know what gets me is the people that don't bathe before they go to the airport. And I don't, this is going to sound so snobbish, but it's true. I always fly first class, mm-hmm. always.
Yep.
And that's me. I pay for it myself. I don't ask anybody to. I pay for it myself. The government, they don't pay. That's just how I like to fly. And I will stay at a nice hotel. Those are my two rules because I'm on the road a lot and I want to be comfortable. Forget where I was at the last time. I forgot my MyPillow and I really regretted that.
Yeah.
Had a little crick in my neck the whole trip. So anyway, I always, for whatever reason, I'm always on the front row. My seat is always 1B. So that's the first row, B, which is the aisle seat, front row. So you get a whiff of everybody coming by. And I'm telling you, people, please wash your nether regions.
Oh boy.
Is it okay to say that on national radio?
I think that's a pretty normal thing to do. Like wash yourself before you get on an airplane because you're stuck in the air. It's not like you can like leave or anything. I guess you could, but.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's like, or, you know, ma'am, Miss Flight Attendant Person, can you bring me a Febreze or, like, nose plugs?
Can they spray for it? Yeah.
But people are just, they're nasty.
Yes.
I mean, even in first class, I saw a guy once on the other side. I saw a guy take his shoes off, take his socks off, and you could smell the odor. And then the guy commences to digging out the, we call it toe jam, but digging out the refuse that was in his toenail and just letting it drop on the floor. You're like, what are you doing?
Possibly the worst kind of person you just described right there. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Shoes off on the airplane. That's diabolical.
Oh, that is. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Why would you ever do that?
Oh, I thought about you. So it was. Oh, this is terrible. It was a flight from Memphis to Los Angeles. It was a direct flight, too. So it was about 2.5-3 hours. So they serve dinner on these planes. And I'm a 1.5 miler, so I get a lot of advantages, you know. So you get to select what you want, your meal, your dinner, and all that kind of stuff. And let me say this, the meals are actually pretty darn good now. On these airlines. So they're really beefing up their game. As a matter of fact, you can actually order Shake Shack on Delta flights now. But only in first class, and you have to do it in advance. So, and you can't order once you get on board the plane. So, and it's, I don't, believe it or not, it works. I don't know how they make it work, but it works, whatever. So anyway, I'm looking at the menu, and as soon as I saw the menu, I thought, oh boy, curry chicken. And I thought, please don't let anybody order the curry chicken. I think the entire front section of the plane ordered the curry chicken. I was waiting for like Bollywood to show up and like dance down the aisles.
You could store that gas in the plane somewhere,
It was like an Indian restaurant. I am not a curry fan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
I would open the window.
Oh, you can't open a window. You're on an airplane. You'll get sucked out, which may have been the better choice.
That's a better choice than sitting through that.
So anyway, it's nasty. And then the worst, though, is when people, and this used to happen all the time. When I was flying from Memphis to LaGuardia, there weren't many direct flights. So you have to lay over in Atlanta. It's on the T terminal. So you guys know exactly where I'm talking about here. Across from, and I don't know how they do this, but every single flight, you take off from the Bojangles. It is the area right in front of the Bojangles. And so, Dylan, that's like, again, 2.5-hour flight, and people are coming on board with just massive, like, buckets of Bojangles. And people are just, like, eating. And it's not like the, you know, it's just so nasty.
Yeah.
And you smell like a big chicken factory when you get off the plane at LaGuardia.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, good Lord, what were those people eating on that plane? It's a fumigate.
They should just offer like Tums, you know, while you order your chicken. If they know you're getting on a flight, just offer, you know, a Tum or two.
Exactly. Or you know, or some Febreze.
Yeah.
Just to kind of clear the air.
A giant torture chamber in the air.
You know, but there's always that person has complete no respect for anybody else on the plane. They get the sandwich, the Subway sandwich with extra onions.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And you can smell them 8 rows back.
Or the tuna salad people.
The tuna. Oh, that's worse.
They pull it out of their little bag, and you're like, this is going to be the worst day ever.
It's true. So our transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, I like this guy more and more every day. He's come up with a way we've got to start improving air travel. Cut number 7.
People dress up like they're going to bed when they fly. You know, I see people getting on airplanes and they're having a hard time taking their luggage and getting in the oversized or the above bin. Help people out. Be nice. Be courteous. And so we want to push people as we come into a really busy travel season. Help people out. Be in a good mood. Dress up. Bring civility back to travel. And I think everyone's experience is going to be that much better.
Yes, because you don't want to be on a flight that's like an episode of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, right? I don't think anybody wants that. And people are just downright rude. There's all these fights, and people are screaming and angry and cursing, and there is just nasty. By the way, did I tell you, Dylan, I was on an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta?
No way.
Oh, yeah. Is that the Nene Nene? No, Nene is the dance.
I've never watched the show, so maybe I could take both.
Yeah, so anyway, they were filming an episode, and I guess they were hopping on board the plane, and so they had the cameras and everything, and they asked, do you mind, sir? And otherwise, you're going to have to leave your seat. And I'm like, well, I paid for this seat, so I'm not going to move, but yeah, I'll sign the waiver. So if you're ever watching The Real Housewives and you see a white guy, yeah, that's me.
Were you a guest Real Housewife?
No, I was just there, and I was trying to be polite. Yeah, I'm like, right. I think I shouted out a couple of times, you know, for shizzle or something just to fit in.
You fit right in.
Yeah. But I told, is it Nene Nene? I forget which one it is. Anyway, I told her, I said, you know, they say I'm pretty fly for a white guy. And she chuckled and then rolled her eyes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Get you a star on the Hollywood.
Tough crowd.
You should be famous after that.
So the administration has launched an official effort. The golden age of travel starts with you. And starts with a bath. Can we start with the basics? Just get back down to the basics. Have any of you experienced air travel? Because I'm telling you, some of those airplanes, they smell like the bathrooms at like a truck stop, and not the Buc-ee's. The ones that really smell. So anyway, here's the intel. We've got the data. Since 2019, the FAA has seen a 400% increase in in-flight outburst. That's insane. 13,800 unruly passenger incidents. One in five flight attendants experienced physical incidents. And last year, we doubled the number of unruly passenger events compared with 2019. So it just seems to me that maybe, we have lost all sense of manners in this country and civility. So Secretary Duffy has posed a few key questions that every flyer should ask themselves this holiday season. This is ridiculous. Are you helping a pregnant woman or the elderly with placing their bags in the overhead bin? Yes, I actually do that. And Dylan, let me say this. If I see a woman, I don't care who it is, but if I see a woman coming on board with, and you know, they always bring the big suitcases, and I'll ask, may I pick that up for you? And I've never had anybody take me up on that, but I get the rudest looks from these, because I guess in the first class cabin, you've got these, you know, business gals, and they think, oh, this guy thinks I'm weak. And I'm like, no, it's just kind of, you know, it's unruly to try to get the bag up in there, and it's trying to be helpful, ma'am.
How dare you be chivalrous?
How dare you call me ma'am? You don't know my pronouns. All right, geez. Back up there, lady. Number two, are you dressing with respect? So here's the thing. If you're walking on board and we can see your thong, that's a problem. That's a problem. Are you dressing with respect? If you are walking on board and, you know, you're letting the ladies breathe freely, that's a problem. Well, for some people it's a problem, but it's a problem. It's not Hooters. It's Delta. Are you keeping control of your children and helping them through the airport? All right, this is my biggest thing, and I get it. I mean, you've got kids. But, you know, when I was a kid, we were taught how to behave. I mean, when I was like a little tiny fella, Dylan, mom and dad taught us, this is how you behave. And if you don't behave this way, you will be spanked. And I just don't think we're doing that to kids anymore.
Oh, for sure. Kids are not being spanked. I was spanked. It works.
It does work. We're not saying beat your child.
No.
But beat your child. Spank. Just spank it. Yeah, spank your child. Because these kids, it's insane. Where was I at the other day? I was at the Kroger, and they had kids running around Kroger with these little scooters. I'm like, who in their right mind? I just can't. Number four, are you saying thank you to your flight attendants? Oh, I absolutely. So here's the thing. Here's a rule of thumb, and this is what you want to do, because the flight attendants, you know, they're up there in that little galley area as you're coming on, and they're kind of like being polite to you. They're sizing you up. They're trying to figure out who's going to be the problem passengers. And so you don't want to be that person. I'm like, hello, ladies. How are y'all doing today? Woohoo! Y'all coming? You know, I put on the Southern accent the whole nine yards. That drawl comes out. And you know what? I get great service.
Yeah, I try to be nice to everybody because they're the people that are in control of this flight. And if they're in a bad mood, that's probably not a good idea.
And you never bother them.
Never bother them.
No. You never hit that button. It's there, but don't you touch it.
Don't touch it.
They're putting you on a list. They do. I've heard.
I bet.
I've heard rumors.
You're on that list, aren't you?
Also, no, I am not on that list. Also, you never want to be the person that causes a line at the bathroom.
Mm.
You never want to be that person.
No. Or go number two. I mean, okay. Is it bad to say you shouldn't go number two on an airplane? It's not as bad as like a travel bus, but like still, you're still stuck up there. It's not going anywhere. It's not like they drop it anywhere.
Are you saying please and thank you in general? Or what's worse is if it doesn't flush.
If it doesn't flush, I mean, you're
done.
There's only two on the plane generally.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, these are basic things. I think when you look at if you look at the behavior of our fellow Americans on an airplane, you understand why the country is going to hell in a handbasket. All right, we're gonna go to a break. We've got Carol and Jackson coming up. She's got a story, and I'm sure you've got some great travel stories as well. Our transportation secretary says that we've got to mind our manners at the airport. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, I want to go to Jackson, Tennessee. Carol is on the line, and Carol, I understand you've got a story about airline travel.
Yes, I have. It didn't happen to me, but my brother was a pilot. He was a pilot in World War II. Then he came out and went with Eastern Airlines, and I think this event probably happened somewhere in the 70s. But anyway, he was the captain, and he was at the door greeting passengers as they boarded the plane, and they saw this man approaching. He was dirty. He was filthy. His clothes looked awful, and his hair was all matted up. And so he kept coming on, and he went up the steps to the door of the plane, and my brother was standing there. And by that time, you could smell him to high heaven. And so my brother just reached out and said, "I'm sorry, sir, you're not boarding this plane." He said, "Well, why? I've got my ticket and everything." He said, "Well, to tell you the truth, you stink to high heaven. You're filthy. You look like you haven't had a bath in a year." And he said, "We're full with passengers, and there's not a one of them that wants to sit next to you."
Really?
So he said, you need to get some soap and go clean yourself up, and you'll have to catch another plane, but you're not boarding this one." So nothing ever happened. He wasn't sued or anything.
Wow.
And you couldn't do that today, I don't guess. But
Carol, do you remember, and I mean, I was a little fellow, but I remember my mom and dad getting dressed up to go on board a flight, and this would have been in the early 70s. But do you remember there was a time when people were really well-dressed on these airplanes?
Oh, yes. We dressed up. I was just a little girl. I flew with him several times, but I always had a dress on, and you know, I was dressed up. But, you know, it was that way everywhere. We used to go to Memphis shopping, and my mother always dressed up.
the whole nine yards, and we'd go down there and shop and go out to eat. And things have changed, haven't they?
You know, they have, and I'm wondering why they changed, you know, because even for church now, people look like slobs, you know, they just show up in shorts and T-shirt and you know, the preachers, they'll wear flip-flops or whatever. There just used to be a little bit more decorum in America.
Right, right. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I've seen it happen. So I just thought I'd share that with you since you were talking about air travel.
Carol, I'm glad you did. And maybe it just starts with us. Maybe, ladies and gentlemen, because I know the Sean Duffy was saying, you know what? Why are we dressing for these flights like we're just rolling out of bed? You know, let's maybe get dressed. You know, take a bath, brush your hair. I find nothing wrong with that. But I'd like to. Wouldn't that be nice to bring a little civility back to America, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, welcome back. May I just, I want to put a bow on this whole controversy surrounding airline travel, and I'm glad that the Transportation Secretary is finally jumping in here. If you have traveled anywhere, you know, and by the way, we've got Luke, so I'll bring Luke Symbol into this, our great Republican pundit. Luke, you just got back from New York.
I did. I wanted to go before it was ruined by Mamdani, so it was quite lovely.
That's wise. It's wise. So yeah. But the airline travel?
Actually uneventful.
Oh, well, that's good.
Which was a surprise.
That's unhelpful for the narrative I'm trying to advance.
Well, no, I've had some terrible flights, especially this summer, so you go right ahead.
So anyway, and I've noticed this on Delta, where, you know, if you're infirm, then, and you need a wheelchair, they'll provide a wheelchair for you, and, you know, you can get on board the flight early. Well, it has become such a problem that in many instances, they'll have 25 or 30 passengers needing wheelchairs, and all of these people are basically gaming the system, because you don't want to be the person that says, I don't believe you, I think you can walk.
It is really getting bad, and in fact, I saw a X post last week where people are now gaming the system on international flights. So, like, if you're in an Indian airport, for example,
yes, no, and this,
did you see that post?
Yes, Air India. This, yeah, you're not. Yes, you're not xenophobic. You
no,
know?
So this is a real thing.
I don't want Dinesh D'Souza coming after you. But yeah, Air India. There, in one flight, there were up to 120 wheelchair requests.
The picture was just unbelievable. I mean, they do the same thing to our social services here in this country. So
it's insane. So here's how I recommend figuring out who's you know, truly, you know, disabled, who's crippled and who's not. That's crass, isn't it? But anyway, it's true. Here's what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, we have free Chick-fil-A sandwiches for the next... I guarantee you they'll be busting a move down the... So anyway, Southwest Airlines has just announced they are ending their wheelchair boarding advantage starting on January 26.
I think that's brilliant. We've got to... Usually, and you said this earlier in the show when I was listening, usually you see a... a woman who looks like she can walk in a wheelchair carrying a bucket of fried chicken. If you're in the Memphis airport, they're carrying a bucket on their lap and they're being wheeled onto the plane.
It's true. It's true. Anyway, true. For those of us who live in airports, and I do, you know, these are big things. So I'm excited about these changes. And yes, people, please wear pants if you're getting on board an airplane.
And shower. What is up with people not showering before they fly? They reek when they're walking down the aisle. It's just, I wear a blazer, actually. I've noticed that if you look a little bit nicer, I wear a blazer every time I fly because you get treated a little bit better.
You do. You know who else I really can't stand on the flights? This is it, and we got to move on. The peanut allergy people.
I thought you were going to say overweight flight attendants.
No. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go there.
Can I go there very quickly? Oh, I was sitting in the aisle, and there was a flight attendant who was quite large, and the booty kept hitting my shoulder, and it was like it was just uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
No, I understand. I have a great rapport now with Delta Airlines and all the flight attendants and the flight crews. And so I just, you know, I want to keep that. I want to maintain that. All right, Luke, we got to talk about politics here. So there's a big race happening coming up in December. I believe December 2nd in Middle Tennessee to replace Congressman Mark Green. And this is a very important race. Now, this is a district that's, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's gone like 20 points for Trump and the Republican running for Congress just about every election cycle.
Yes, it is a Republican district, but it's getting national attention. There was some polling that was done maybe about a month ago now that showed that those who knew about this special election, the people that were fired up for the race were Democrats. And it really sent a shockwave through Republican circles here in Tennessee. And the Democrats have noticed it. Republicans have noticed it. So now you're seeing this national attention. I think Kamala Harris was in town trying to gin up Democrat votes. They're bringing in some, you know, this David Hogg guy. Is that his name? I'm this.
Yeah,
young
little David Hogg.
Oh,
yeah.
So annoying. The oinker, yeah. I don't know if he gets out the vote. But the point was he was here. He was being paid to be here to get out the Democrat vote. And, you know, I think we're going to have to pay very close attention to some of these special elections. And what we've been hearing is that Republican voters, when Trump is on the ballot and when it's a presidential election, every 4 years they come out. But they are low propensity, which means that they are not really paying as close of attention to these local races and these special elections that are vitally important. And, you know, the state, for example, state legislative races, the state legislatures dictate, they draw the lines for the congressional map. So they draw the lines for how many Republicans or Democrats are being sent to the House. Other major issues that have national ramifications. So Republicans, we need to do a better job of telling our voters, yes, these national elections are important, but local races and special elections are very important.
Her name is Ass. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. Aff. My apologies. Afton Bain. Whoops. My bad. That's a Freudian slip there. Afton Bain is her name. And she's basically a blonde-haired AOC. And she's been out there doxing ICE agents. I mean, she's a radical progressive.
Radical leftist. And in fact, just this past weekend was doing an interview where she was hating on the district in which she's running. She's just hating on Nashville, just saying how terrible it is and the bachelorette parties, and I hate it, and it's awful, and I don't want to live here. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. She didn't say exactly that, but it was like, if you hate where you live so much, why are you running for Congress?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you live here in the first place?
The Guardian newspaper, the headline, in Tennessee, Democrats hope a coalition of the pissed off will flip a red district. This concerns me. Because you're right. I think the Republicans have not done a good job of just getting out there and getting out the early voters. And I get it. You know, they can make up for those, you know, deficiencies on election day. But my concern is, why is it so freaking close? He should be winning this by 20 points.
He should be. And look, he has a good ground game. It's not a flashy campaign, but it's an organized campaign. So I'm really hoping that they are able to reach out to the voters. And again, Republicans, if we have early voting, for example, please get out and vote early. We have to seize. Look, I don't love early voting. I would like to have one day of voting on election day. But if we're going to have early voting, we've got to get out and vote. Call your neighbors, call your friends. And then the thing is, once you vote, usually the campaigns stop bothering you because they know that you voted.
I want to bring up this Marist poll. Everybody's talking about it today. Marist, they do this every election cycle, and they're taking a look at the midterms. And they say right now on a generic 2026 ballot, Democrats have a commanding double-digit lead right now. So if the election for Congress were held today, which party's candidate would you more likely vote for in your district? 55% say Democrat, 41% say Republican. What's going on here?
Look, I don't think we have felt the effects of the big, beautiful bill yet. We do know that prices are starting to fall. For example, I think the Thanksgiving dinner estimate costs are down like 5 or 6% year over year. We are starting to see the effects of that big, beautiful bill come into play, the economy getting up. But it was in bad shape when Donald Trump won the presidency. And so I'm hoping that by next year, when we have the midterms, that the economy is in, you know, roaring again, and that those numbers change a little bit. Look, it's very typical for whichever party wins the presidency that next cycle, you're going to lose some seats. You might flip the House into the other party's hands. But I think as we feel the effects of the big, beautiful bill, as the economy starts moving, we're going to see those numbers tighten. And look, Republicans have to get their messaging right. I'm hearing all these podcasters, for example, focusing on squabbles within the Republican Party, talking about Israel, who's anti-Semitic, who is more conservative, what does the party look like after Trump? Nobody cares about that. People care about how much eggs cost, which, by the way, egg prices have come down dramatically. You don't hear the media talking about it. But let's talk about the issues that the average American cares about and stop these stupid squabbles.
These are the top three things. According to Marist, nearly 6 in 10 say the Trump administration should focus on lowering prices, which they are. So
yes.
I think maybe it's really about the messaging,
yes,
about lowering prices. And I want to get to that holiday, the Thanksgiving stuff in a minute. 57% say lowering prices, number one concern. Coming in at a very distant second is controlling immigration, and
yes,
then number three, reducing crime. I mean, those are the top three things. Nobody cares about Israel, Gaza. Nobody cares about Russia, Ukraine. Nobody cares about, you know, blowing up the speedboats coming from Venezuela loaded with drugs. Nobody cares about that stuff. They care about what's not in their bank account right now.
And that number two issue, the immigration issue, both legal and illegal, touches the other two. When you have millions and millions of people coming into this country, whether it's legally or illegally, that increases housing costs, that increases costs on services, that increases food costs. And so I really think Republicans focus on immigration, but especially focus on legal immigration. We've secured the border. The border shut down. Now let's switch our focus to legal immigration. Again, Republicans talk about the kitchen table issues. Those top three things, just focus on that. Every single person running for Congress next year, right on the 2-year term, running for the House of Representatives, focus on those three things, period.
I wonder, though, if part of the challenge is that Congress just hasn't really done anything.
Nothing at all. It is so frustrating. And I hear this from Republicans every single day. Why the heck aren't the Republicans doing anything in Congress? These are Republican voters that are frustrated. So you got to believe everybody's annoyed.
I just don't get that.
Yeah.
And again, the one thing they did do, the one big beautiful bill, is really not so beautiful. It's ginormous. And the spending levels were still at Biden era. So we really don't have a lot to campaign on. And I don't know what happened to all the DOGE stuff.
Well, look, and I would prefer Congress, even if you don't have the coalition, even if you can't overcome the filibuster, force the votes and get people on the record on these issues. Short bills every single day, just like the Senate did with the government shutdown. Every day, hold a vote and say, look, Democrats refuse to open the government. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Every single day. That's
yes.
what we ought to be doing. I mean, no vacations. You know,
yes.
take a break for Christmas Eve and just come right back and get at it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know what people are going to be able to run on. That's what
exactly.
I'm concerned about.
Get folks on the record on these issues. By the way, Republicans and Democrats, get them on the record.
As a matter of fact, so I want to bring up the prices for the turkeys, because this is good stuff here, folks. Luke is absolutely right. There was a survey released, and by the way, they do this every single year. And here we go. The cost of Thanksgiving dinner. This is put out by the American Farm Bureau Federation. They've been doing it for 40 years. So this is where everybody goes to get that this data. And they're saying 5% decrease in Thanksgiving dinner for 10 people from 2024. The record high was $64.05. That was in 2022. Now it's, what, a little over $50 to feed 10 people for Thanksgiving. Here we go. The average cost in 2025. The average cost for 10 people in 2023, it was $61.17. Went down in 2024, $58.08. 2025, $55.18.
That really is a good bellwether for prices across the country. For inflation, we've got to focus on affordability. And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't know if you recall, Todd, but when Trump was elected and then came into office in January, everybody was talking about egg prices and, of course, unfairly blaming him. Eggs are so expensive. Eggs are so expensive. Well, egg prices are down to like normal levels and nobody's talking about it, but Americans can feel it in their wallets. So maybe, while maybe folks did not have deviled eggs last year, they're going to have them this year.
So, and well, I hope so. But again, when you look at the actual data out there, it's just hard for people. For some reason, they're just not getting it. It's not sinking in yet. They don't feel they're not seeing what's happening, you know, with the national economy, you know, impacting their personal lives right now.
It's slow moving, but I do think prices are coming down. The economy is trying to jumpstart. It's like that train getting rolling. And I really, really hope that was why that when they were trying to pass that big, beautiful bill, I don't know. Again, I don't know if we love the name, but when they were trying to pass that bill, they said, we've got to do it as early as possible so people can start feeling the effects by the midterm. So we'll see if the bill does what it was supposed to do. We will see by the midterms, and perhaps if the economy is roaring, we won't see the House of Representatives lose as many Republicans.
This ought to be a huge story, but it's not going to be in the national media that, you know, Thanksgiving dinner is coming down very quickly, the mm-hmm. price. I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, as we go to break here, can you stick around for just a quick second?
I can stick around.
Luke Symbol joining us here, and I'm curious, Thanksgiving dinner, you've been out shopping, you're already getting your stuff together. Have you noticed that prices are coming down, or are prices still pretty high in your neighborhood? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, welcome back. Luke Symbol here with us in studio. Hey, let's go to the phone. Frank in North Carolina. All right, Frank, tell us, what are you seeing out there? Prices coming down, sir?
Yes, prices are coming down everywhere except for gas. Eggs are down, milk is down, bread is down, everything is down, meat is down substantially, except for gasoline. If you go 25, 30 miles in any direction from a little town called Vanceville, it's 30 to 40 cents a gallon cheaper. But other than that, man, I think our president's doing an excellent job.
Good stuff. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, I've noticed the same thing with gas prices. I stopped at one place in Memphis, and it was like 20 cents, 30 cents higher than another place, Luke.
I think energy cost is going to be a major issue going forward with these large AI companies, supercomputers just sucking up energy. And large, you know, if we're going to bring manufacturing, for example, back to the United States, we have got to focus on energy costs. And I agree. I think that's one of the major issues affecting Americans.
All right. Hey, Frank, thank you for that call. Thanks for listening to our friends over in Moorhead City at the talk station. Let's go to Susan in Atlanta. All right, Susan, what are you finding out there?
Todd, the prices are not coming down. They keep going up. I go to the grocery store, a 4.5-ounce bag of chips. It's potato powder, $6. And they go up in big, the prices go up in large increments. It's not by a nickel. It's not by 10 cents. It's 50 cents, 60, 70 cents, a dollar at a time. And then there's establishments, retailers that want to charge you a fee if you use your credit card. So that's an extra cost. The prices are not coming down, and we're tired of it. It's been too long. They're not coming down. The rate of increase may have slowed down, but the prices are, and the meat, you can't buy a steak.
Beef is high.
Beef is very expensive. I do think that prices on certain things are coming down. Butter, milk, like the gentleman before said, I think you are seeing some of the grocery prices coming down. But there are, you know, meat is much too high. And I think the Trump administration was just talking about this. How do we get the supply out of the hands of just a couple of distributors?
And I'm willing to go with it. But here's the thing. President Trump is making the same mistake with the economy that he did with COVID in terms of the messaging and the response.
Susan, that is a very fair assessment and observation here, and you're right. The administration, there seems to be a disconnect, and we've got to figure that. They've got to figure that out. We're trying to help them figure that out. Susan, I got to run. Thank you for that call, and thanks for the update. Luke, welcome back to Memphis.
Thank you, Todd. It was fun to be on the show today.
All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 coming up. Don't go anywhere. 901-260-5926. What are the prices looking like in your town? We want you to give us a call. Let us know. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's what concerns me about this situation involving the six Democrats in the Senate and the House. These Democrats released a video. And they're urging members of the U.S. military and the intelligence communities to disobey what they consider to be illegal orders. I want to go back and I want you to we're going to play the audio that's causing all sorts of chaos in Washington right now.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow. I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
This is incredibly dangerous, and President Trump is enraged. The president is now calling for these lawmakers to be arrested, and he believes they have committed crimes against the nation, that they are, in fact, traitors. Now, I very rarely do I quote Lindsey Graham, but I'm going to here, so bear with me. Lindsey Graham says, to say that I am disturbed by this video is an understatement. As a former Air Force JAG, I take the issue of unlawful orders very seriously, and I cannot find a single example of an illegal order during this administration. To that end, I believe these Democrats owe it to the country to be specific about which orders they think are unlawful. And I completely agree with Lindsey Graham here. What exactly are the illegal orders? And we mentioned this in the first hour of the show, where they mention everything except what the illegal orders are. And one of the concerns I have is that these Democrats are doing this intentionally because they want to sow seeds of doubt, not only within the military, within the rank and file, causing dissension, causing disorder and chaos, but also within the American people. They want you, the American people, to think that Trump is up to no good, that Trump is up to something. You know, they keep calling him a dictator and a Nazi, and that he's going to send in the military and arrest all these people. The president's never done anything like that. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very dangerous game that the Democrats are playing. And it is all meant to undermine the president of the United States. So my question is very simple. Do you believe that these individuals should be arrested? Do you believe that they should be charged with crimes against the nation? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And Dylan, I'm sending you over some audio. Senator Chuck Schumer is enraged over this because he says, I mean, he's saying Trump is out there threatening us. He's threatening us. No, sir, Trump isn't threatening anybody. He's being pretty direct. He believes that you people and members of your party, Chuck Schumer, have broken the law. And he wants action. And I don't blame him one bit. Not one bit. So we'll be taking your calls on this. 901-260-5926. Should these lawmakers face the penalty, some sort of a penalty, for what they have done? Now, in the last hour, we were talking about airline travel. And I want to bring this up. We got a note from Laura. Laura is, she listens to our show all the time, and she sent me a note. She says, I used to work for one of the airlines in New Bern, North Carolina, before it closed due to COVID. But I was listening to you talk about people abusing wheelchair assistance and other disabilities to board early. The thing about that is we can't tell them. Now I've had people with nothing preventing them to walk on because I watch them. They use the kiosk, grab their boarding pass, and once they get back to the gate, all of a sudden they need wheelchair assistance because it's a booked flight. So the only thing I can say about that is if you booked your flight online, it clearly asks if you need wheelchair assistance. And since as the gate agent can view anything you checked on your ticket purchase, I politely tell them that since we are a very small airline and limited on wheelchairs, and this is why we ask the question. So I get it. It's and I feel bad for the poor flight attendants and the gate agents. Man, they've got one of the toughest jobs in the airline industry, and they catch it from everybody. And look, they're just doing their job. Oh, she also talked about and this holy emotional pet carry-on is a little bit out of hand. Oh, you don't have to tell me about that. I mean, I had to sit next to a Great Dane once. A Great Dane. I mean, there's not much. I mean, a Great Dane is, well, they call them Great Danes for a reason, because they're huge. And there was a time when people were getting on board these flights with their emotional support ponies, like the little miniature horses, the midget horses. No, Dylan, I think we can call the horses midgets. We just can't call people midgets. They're little people. Like the pickles. They're no longer like midget gherkins. They're little gherkins. Little pickles. Or lil picks. Anyway. I digress. Let's go to the phones here. Dave, Moorhead City, North Carolina. Dave, you just heard the audio from these senators and congresspeoples. What say you, sir?
Well, Todd, I've heard it a few times, And a lot of what I've heard on the show today just has me so furious. I wasn't going to call at all, but then I heard this latest part. So here's the thing. All these people are coming out. There's nothing specific. And all anybody does anymore is talk about this. This is another distraction from whatever's really happening. And we're going to talk about these guys' statements and everything else. So one, what is it that, you know, have them cite whatever it is specifically that allows the disobedience of an order by determining what the illegality of the order is. Which order in specific are they talking about at this time, or are they speaking in generalities? Two, what are the consequences of somebody who does disobey an order because they believe that it's illegal, whether it is or not, and how did they determine it? And the biggest one is, which one of these people is going to stand at court-martial beside somebody when they get held accountable for disobeying an order?
It's a great question. Dave, because I understand in some circumstances that could carry a penalty, like what, up to 2 years of confinement?
I missed the first part of that. I was asking, one of those people Mark Kelly?
Mark Kelly was one of every single person that I mentioned, Dave, has served in the military. That's sort of the common denominator.
Well, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure, and the reason I ask that is I'm pretty sure that Mark Kelly's going to be putting his face out there for the primary. And, you know, of all people, he's going to be one of the ones when this specific issue blows up, he's going to backtrack it. Who would you want to be commander-in-chief? Because I don't think that Donald Trump's the best choice for commander-in-chief, but who would you want to be commander-in-chief who has gone out publicly and said, you have the right to disobey an order? What they're saying is, it's up to you to determine the legality of an order. I deal with military people all day, every day, across this nation, and I'll tell you what, a lot of these people do not have the capacity nor the desire to determine what is legal or illegal. They don't care. You know, our military is not what everybody's playing it up to be right now.
What do you mean by that, Dave?
We've got a lot of people that are in the military right now who don't even want to be there. They're in there. They want to get it. They want to get training. They've got a job. They get a paycheck. And they get a paper cut. They're going to say, I'm disabled. Pay me for life. You know, the littlest thing. And, you know, there's the term eating their way out. There's people that get in there, they go through 6 months, 8 months, a year, and they're so overweight that they get discharged for non-suitability for service.
Really?
And that's I just heard of a kid that 20 years old couldn't finish his first enlistment because of anxiety and depression, and a doctor at MEPS didn't catch that when he went in.
Dave, I appreciate the call, and thanks for that intel. I want to play this audio. This is Chuck Schumer just a few moments ago railing about President Trump's reaction to all of this. Take a listen.
Leaders recognized.
Earlier today, Donald Trump shared a post on Truth Social calling for Democratic members of Congress to be hanged. He also posted a message that said, seditious behavior, punishable by death. Let's be crystal clear. The President of the United States is calling for the execution of elected officials. This is an outright threat, and it's deadly serious. We have already seen what happens when Donald Trump tells his followers that his political opponents are enemies of the state. Every time Donald Trump posts things like this, he makes political violence more likely. None of us should tolerate this kind of behavior. We all remember what January 6th was like. We lived through January 6th. We have lived through the assassination and attempted assassinations this year. We have members whose families have had to flee their homes. When Donald Trump uses the language of execution and treason, some of his supporters may very well listen. He is lighting a match in a country soaked with political gasoline. Every senator, every representative, every American, regardless of party, should condemn this immediately and without qualification. Because if we don't draw a line here, there is no line left to draw. Who would have thought the President of the United States saying his opponent should be hanged? It's outrageous. No president has ever stooped as low as Donald Trump. None. He has made political violence a feature of his politics. And if we don't draw a line here, there's no line left to draw. And yet today he crossed yet another line that no democracy can afford to tolerate. He must be condemned forcefully, loudly, and without excuses before someone takes his words as permission to do the unthinkable. Anything less enables the flames of hatred to grow and spread.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's Chuck Schumer. You know, here's the deal. Why don't you tell your party to stop trying to start an insurrection with the U.S. military? If I didn't know better, ladies and gentlemen, those six Democrats were trying to sow the seeds of some sort of a military coup in this country. Who does that? All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show, 5 o'clock Eastern, we've got a terrific show lined up for you. And folks, let me tell you something. Millions of people are now watching Newsmax on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters now calling us one of the top news brands of the nation, and it's a great network. What can I tell you? You're going to be able to watch not only my show, but Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app. It takes just a few seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. It really is real news for real people. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Manny in Iowa. Manny, what's on your mind today?
I don't know. I think you feel the same way I do, Todd, that these politicians, you know, all the stuff that they say and do, you know, there has to be accountability. Until they get thrown in jail, prison, they're going to continue. It's not going to stop. They went after ICE agents. Old Chuck Schumer there went after the justices, remember? Nothing was done to him.
Remember, he said he was going to, what, unleash the whirlwind, and then the next day you had some transgender dude try and kill Gorsuch or Kavanaugh.
Yes, sir. So why wasn't he held accountable? That's the problem we have. We need Republicans to start growing a spine. Some of them up there are spineless. They're like jellyfish, you know?
I don't like jellyfish, Manny. They creep me out.
I don't either. You know, they need to just grow a spine, okay, and leave it at that. And they know what they got to do. They got to be held accountable when these politicians go off the deep end and say things that are going to harm, whether it's ICE agents or even the President of the United States. I mean, he was shot at and almost killed.
The guy survived two assassination attempts, so I give Donald Trump a lot of leeway, Manny, when it comes to what he says and what he does. And again, I challenge those lawmakers, explain to us the order they consider to be illegal.
You know, Todd, I served 11 years in the Marine Corps, okay, honorably. And when an order was given, you obeyed it, okay? And I have not heard of any order that has come down to these ICE agents or FBI agents, law enforcement, National Guard, that was inappropriate, in my opinion. So they need to be held accountable until they get thrown in jail. Something's done to them, fined heavily. They're going to continue. It's not going to stop. Yeah. It's only going to get worse.
That's it. Manny, God bless you. First, thank you for serving our great nation, and thank you for listening to this radio show.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Manny in Iowa. Dylan, I figured something out.
What's that?
You know, I'm a little on the short side. Taller than Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, but I'm a little on the the shorter side.
Okay.
I think I'm growing out a fro.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to get a perm, and I think I'm going to go fro.
Is it going to be, like, real?
Yeah, it's got to be real.
Just let that thing grow.
This is from, and I'm going to explain why. So, a New York woman has been certified as having the world's largest afro. hairstyle. Her afro puts her at 6 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
6 feet. So I love this. So I'm figuring if I could just somehow grow a fro,
yeah,
I'd be adding some height.
6 feet of height.
Yeah. Her name is
Guinness World Record.
Yeah. Her name is Jessica Martinez, and her afro is 11.42 inches tall, 12 and a half inches wide, and 6 feet in circumference.
Wow.
And so she is officially now, she has the world's largest afro. I don't need that much. I don't need to be 6 feet tall.
I mean, why not?
But if I hit 5'11", I'm good with that.
Well, do you want to be in a Guinness World Record book? I mean,
no,
that's really...
No, I just want to be respected. You know, when I walk into the room, I want to be recognized.
I think that'll happen. I wonder why she...
You think so?
I wonder why she does that, or why she did that.
Yeah, why not? You know, you got nothing else to do.
I mean, when you take a shower, is that going to, like, anchor you to the floor?
I think it would drop you to the floor. I mean, can you imagine how much your hair would weigh if it gets soaking wet?
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to go swimming, get sucked into a drain. No. Slurp. There you go. I'm telling you. All right. You know, I may rethink that, but it's an idea. It's an idea. It's better than Rogaine. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just a few moments ago, reporters were able to catch up to Speaker Mike Johnson, and he was asked to weigh in on the president's comments regarding those six members of Congress. Let's take a listen.
Speaker, how you doing?
The president posted that Democrats who urge service members to not follow illegal orders should be punished, should be seditious. Conspiracy and punishable by death. Give me a response to that.
Look, I know the DOJ and the Pentagon are looking into the legality of all that, but what I can address is what everybody knows. That was wildly inappropriate. It is very dangerous. You have leading members of Congress telling troops to disobey orders. I think that's unprecedented in American history. And as the father of a young man who is, you know, at the Naval Academy, going to be joining the service, I know young soldiers, airmen, sailors, they don't need that kind of nonsense from people in Congress. It is very dangerous.
But
I'm going to let others define what it is, but it's wildly inappropriate.
Wildly inappropriate. That's coming from the Speaker of the House. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Gene in Jasper, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind today?
A couple of things, Todd. Real quick, the from 1965 to 1990, I did your 1.5 million miles in a business suit with a tie on airplanes.
Is that right?
But I have a yes, sir. I have a question, Todd. Why should we obey any state, federal, local law that we think is illegal?
Well, so this is a fair question. This is like a question you would ask at about 2 o'clock in the morning after a college party, and you're sitting around and you're like, who am I? What is life? And you're asking, why should we have to obey any laws, Gene? That's the question you're asking.
Especially judges that tell us what we have to do. Why should we say, I don't accept that?
Well,
that's what these guys are saying.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, and this is something that has been explored, and I think you have to go back, and when you study this social contract, you know, and again, it's this idea that it's individual consent, really, to obey the law in exchange for living in something of an orderly society. Otherwise, you know, you get anarchy, which is what they have, I think, in Seattle and parts of Seattle and in Portland. So I suppose you could determine, you know what, I'm not going to obey any laws. You'll end up in jail, but I guess you could do that if you wanted to. Why do you think we should obey the law?
Well, first of all, you're talking to an Army reservist who had to take guard duty despite the fact that I thought I won the contest, so I didn't have to do that. But anyhow, that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
No, I know exactly. No, I know where you're coming from on this, Gene. But I remember, you know, there were times when I wanted to disobey my parents, and they set the laws of the land. And I can tell you that did not end well.
I can no longer understand where the Democrat Party comes from anymore. I just don't. This is not the country I grew up in, a country I was in the military for, and I just honestly, Todd, I don't understand how we can change it. I just do not.
Gene, it scares me when I see these kids, you know, for example, in Charlotte, North Carolina right now, and it was Minneapolis last night, where you've got these mobs of young people just going up and fighting with the police. I mean, there is no respect for law, and we are literally teetering on the verge of anarchy in some of these major cities around the country right now.
Yeah, well, the other thing that I was talking to my wife about was, how do we know? I mean, I'm going way out on a limb on this, but how do we know that this isn't part of a little bit of a plan after they found out that Dick Cheney was near death? I mean, I can't imagine two more events together that are just exactly what the Democrats would want. Dick Cheney's dead. We're celebrating him. They're not inviting Trump to the funeral. And now we have people telling us not to obey laws. I'm sorry. I've become what we used to call a skeptic rep.
No, well, I may be in that same boat with you, Gene. And look, I didn't think of it in those terms. But, you know, one of the other aspects of the way they treated Donald Trump by banning him from the funeral today, it almost lends this idea that our previous presidents do not consider Donald Trump to be legitimate. And I think there could be something in that. But when I see the military right now, I see a military that loves their commander in chief. And I'm not saying all of them do, because I think there are still many, many woke individuals who join the military to join some sort of a social justice campaign. But I think by and large, I think the young men and young women who are joining the military in record numbers, by the way, those are people that love the kind of military that Donald Trump and our war secretary have created. Gene, thank you for that call. Always giving us something to think about on a Thursday. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Happy to have you with us today. And, of course, the big story when it comes to the world of politics is what's happening in Middle Tennessee, where there is a big congressional district race. And this is a big district from Kentucky to Alabama. It covers a massive swath of the middle part of the state, including parts of Nashville, where former Congressman Mark Green, he retired. And coming up on the 2nd, December 2nd, there will be a special election, and the Democrats believe they have a chance here. They're calling it, as the headline in Politico reads, "Democrats Eye Trump Country for a Special Election Surprise." Now, this is a district that carried Donald Trump by more than 20 points, And it's only, I'm telling you, the latest polling data we've seen and some of the Democrat internal polls have her pulling in within maybe 7 points, which is a bit unusual. But again, this is it's a weird election cycle. Early voting underway right up until, you know, Thanksgiving. So there are a lot of other moving parts here. So we're going to be talking to Matt Van Epps, who is the Republican running here momentarily. Let's go to the phone lines. Danny in Tennessee. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. Real quick comment on the military thing. I know, I hope they still have a swear in this way, but I know when you jump through all the hurdles and you swear in at military entrance processing station in that little bitty room with the flag, you swear in for selfless service, which means your opinion doesn't matter. How you feel doesn't matter. You follow your orders, and that's what you do, and that's what you swear in to do. Now, if you don't, there's trouble, and if you follow a quote-unquote illegal order, there's most oftentimes you have to follow that order, but there's a process to go through afterwards. And but you swear in for selfless service, so it doesn't, you as an individual no longer matter. You do what you're told from the commander-in-chief on down. And don't complain about it either.
That's it. I've watched enough war movies and military movies to understand that concept, Danny.
Hey, I tore my body up with it. I'm permanently disabled, 100%. You know, I wish I could have gave more. But that's just how it is. You just follow your orders. People ask me, what you do in the Army? I followed orders. That's what I did. And there we go. You have a blessed day.
All right, Danny. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. We're going to be debating this tonight on Newsmax. But again, it is just a crazy time in this country where people just do not want to obey the laws of the land. This is nuts. As a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. Jasmine Crockett, this woman's nuts. She's just slap crazy nuts. So Jasmine Crockett is, here she is talking about Lee Zeldin. So she went out there and she posted this big old post about how Lee Zeldin was taking donations from Jeffrey Epstein. Well, it turned out to be a Dr. Jeffrey Epstein. It was not the Jeffrey Epstein. CNN actually called out Jasmine Crockett. Cut number three.
Democrat who's been on defense over Jeffrey Epstein is Stacey Plaskett. She represents the Virgin Islands. She was texting with Jeffrey Epstein the day of Michael Cohen's hearing. Her questions pretty closely followed the text messages between the two of them to ask about Rona Graff, Trump's longtime assistant. You were defending her today yesterday, and you talked about Republicans taking money from a Jeffrey Epstein. Here's what you said.
Who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio.
You mentioned Lee Zeldin there. He's now a cabinet secretary. He responded and said it was actually Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a doctor that doesn't have any relation to the convicted sex trafficker. Unfortunate for that doctor, but that is who donated to a prior campaign of his. Do you want to correct the record on the people that
listen,
you
listen, I never said that it was that Jeffrey Epstein. Just so that people understand, when you make a donation, your picture is not there.
Oh,
and because
please.
They decided to spring this on us in real time, I wanted the Republicans to think about what could potentially happen, because I knew that they didn't even try to go through the FEC. So my team, what they did is they Googled. And that is specifically why I said a Jeffrey Epstein. Unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies. Because it was not the same one, that's fine. But when Lee Zeldin had something to say, all he had to say was it was a different Jeffrey Epstein. He admitted that he did receive donations from a Jeffrey Epstein, so at least I wasn't trying to mislead people. Now, have I dug in to find out who this doctor is? I have not. So I will trust and take what he says, is that it wasn't that Jeffrey Epstein, but I was not attempting to mislead anybody. I literally had maybe 20 minutes before I had to do that debate.
Yeah, but people might see that and say, well, you're trying to make it sound like he took money from
registered
sex offender.
No, but I literally did not know. When you search FEC files, and that's what I had my team to do, I texted them and I said, listen, we're going up. They are saying that she took donations.
Right, but someone might say, well, your team should have done the homework to make sure it wasn't the convicted
not
sex trafficker.
Within 20 minutes, you could not find that out, not from just doing a quick search on FEC. So, number one, I made sure that I was clear that it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein, because I knew that we would need more time to really dig in.
Well, Stacey Plaskett was texting the Jeffrey Epstein that we're
correct.
All talking about. You voted against the censure for her to remove her from her committees. You know, we pressed the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, on this last night. Maybe you don't think she should be removed from her committees.
Correct.
But why do so many Democrats seem unwilling to say it's inappropriate to be texting with a registered sex offender about what you're going to ask a witness at a congressional hearing.
So I'm not going to necessarily say that that's the case. Now, this is somebody that was a former prosecutor. Now, I haven't sat down and talked about all the specifics of why Stacey was doing what she was doing. I know that when she got up and she spoke, she talked about the fact that this was one of her constituents. At the end of the day, what I know of prosecutors is that they are typically talking to co-defendants. They are typically talking to the people that have the best information. And what you had was you had the former attorney for the president that was sitting there. And honestly, we knew, or she knew, or at least Jeffrey Epstein presented that he was very cozy with the president. He had more information, registered sex offender or not. The bigger question is, why is it that the president was so cozy with a registered sex offender even after he ultimately ended up with some of his convictions? And seemingly, he had absolutely been on the plane with him. We know about the birthday card. The bigger question is, why is the president of the United States not the one that is in the hot seat for his relationship, instead of us saying, oh, you know what, we're going to take her off of her committee because he decided to text her? Stacey didn't initiate that chain. Jeffrey initiated that chain, and she took the information. Just like if somebody texts me.
Yeah, but she was responding and saying, you know, what are you talking about? Quick, I'm up next. And then her questions were about Rona. But do you think that was inappropriate? I mean, would you text with someone who is a registered sex offender about what you should ask?
I honestly know that he had never been convicted of any federal crimes at that time.
But he had been in jail already.
He had been in jail. And my deal is this. The Republicans are constantly texting with a 34-count convicted felon. So if it's okay for them to text him at any point in time, then I'm not going to say that that's right or wrong, especially to the extent that you're talking about kicking someone off their committee. Were they sexting? Was it a matter of her being involved in the pedophilia? No, it was nothing like that. She was trying to understand. Let's say Jeffrey Epstein said, you know what? I have these pictures, these salacious pictures, because I know that the president got down and did these things. Do you think that it would be inappropriate for her to ask about those things if he said he had personal knowledge
and
it's important?
I think the context matters, but obviously it seemed like he was helping her.
Shuckin'! Shuckin' jivin'.
Good God. Yeah. All right. Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. Your Jasmine. That was an elongated Jasmine Crockett update. That woman's nuts. Just nuts. So basically, her defense of getting all of this wrong, and honestly, she deserves to face a lawsuit here, because she's really said some inappropriate things about a lot of people in Congress. Her excuse is, well, we didn't have enough time to Google it. This is a sitting member of Congress, ladies and gentlemen. Dylan, can you believe these are the people that have been elected to represent us in Congress?
I would hate to be named Jeffrey Epstein.
That would not be good.
Don't Google me.
Or Dahmer. Anybody named Dahmer.
Seriously.
I'm getting a name change. That's it.
She is nuts. That's 5 minutes of nuts right there.
What got me was the reaction on the CNN. It's eyebrow lady. What was her name? Caitlin Collins. Yeah. Caitlin Collins. She's got the eyebrows. Very nice eyebrows. She was just like, "Are you freaking kidding me right now? Really? That's your excuse? Well, we just didn't have enough time. We had to Google it.
We had 20 minutes."
So what do they do, like just Jeffrey Epstein and just go down the list of members of Congress?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, my gosh.
Golly.
You can't make this up, ladies. You just can't make this up. All right. Wow, what a mess. Tomorrow, by the way, apologies. We had a time issue with Eastern Time and Central Time. We're going to have Mr. Matt Van Epps on tomorrow's national show. That is going to be a major race. Let me just tell you, Kamala Harris has been campaigning. You've had the chairman of the DNC down here. The Trump PACs have been very active. And the Democrats, they smell a possible upset here, which is why they're putting a lot of time and effort and elbow grease into this. So we're looking forward to talking to Matt Van Epps tomorrow. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. We will see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on Newsmax. We're going to have a jam-packed show for you. ToddStearns.com. Go read all of our great stories and content there. You get out there. Have a great day. Be safe, America.